And I always class myself, and when I give a lecture, as part of that, I'm actually here as a witness for the living and for the dead. As for the living, between 1938 and 45, the biggest catastrophe that fell the European Jews. And while all that carnage went on by killing, by shooting, by starvation, by beating, the whole world stood by and said nothing. And I, as a survivor, can't come to terms with that.
Yes, Joe. We'll go into that towards the end, yeah. But I'm now going to... I've kept what you've said on the tape, but I will introduce this as Real One.
Yes.
And it's Joseph Pearl, okay. Isn't it? That is your
P-E-R-L.
Yeah. Joseph Pearl, Real One. Yeah. And if I could ask you, first of all, Joseph, to tell me about your family life before the war started.
We were a family of 9 children and husband and wife, of course, mum and dad. I had 8 sisters, and I was the only son. So you can imagine the parents having a son and what the expectation was of the only son. Now, I come from a religious family. Not fanatically religious, but religious. We kept all the things in a very high standard. And not only that, we also had our own Sefer Torah, you know, the 5 books of Moses, which is still in my possession. And it's in the shul here in Bushi. So I lived in Bournemouth, I presented it in shul in Bournemouth, which I lived there for about 24 years. And this scroll is very highly thought of in Bournemouth and in here. And to us, it was a bond between the family and the neighbors. Which I mean to say, that the high holidays used to come on, especially what we call the New Year, the Simchas Torah, where you dance with the stuff. We used to take the Sefer Torah from the synagogue, which the synagogue was only 1 door away, to our house, and our friends used to come, all our family used to come, and we used to read the portion, and then we used to dance and sing and meet and have a big celebration. But I'm jumping the gun. I come from a very, very happy, close, happy family. Very close, happy family. And also, the area where I lived in Bychkiv.
Could you spell that for me?
B-O-C-H-K-O-V. Bychkiv. To tell you the truth, I never knew anti-Semitism. I had Christian friends. We used to eat in each other's houses. We used to play together. We used to have Mohammedans. We used to have sheiks. We used to have beehive. Oh, there was a religion there. But we were all brothers. Nobody ever called me or my father or my family a Jew or a dirty Jew or something like that. And the greatest pleasure used to be when I used to walk with my father hand in hand. And he used to tell me a few parables in order for me to understand what he means. He used to put it in a little story about all the way around. So I gathered all the information that he's trying to put into me. And some were very, very interested. And my father and I, somehow, I knew what he was thinking, and he knew my capabilities, which is a very rare thing. And as the only son, and having so many sisters, there used to be many times quite a few fights. And he used to work hard. He used to go away on a Monday, he used to come back on a Friday for the Shabbos and so forth.
What did he do, Joe?
We used to deal in wood. And so when he used to come, he used to be in the forest all the time, buying the wood and cutting it and so forth and so forth. And that's like a sawmill. And so you can imagine, he used to take me along and teach me the cubic feet. And so I didn't have to measure. He said, pace out my things and I say, well, this has got 7 cubic feet or 12 cubic feet. And it was sort of an understanding. And it was correct. Because he used to say to me, well, you didn't really stretch your feet. You know, because he used to say, you were going to stretch your feet. So it was, and also, I used to go to Cheder. I started at Cheder when I was 3 years old. And till about five years old, they used to do afterwards is on a Friday, they used to come what they call a Dayan, a very learned man from a different area, used to come to our area, and all the fathers who want to know the progress of the children, they used to send us to him, and he used to test us on the week's teaching, on the week's seder, and then he used to give me a little bit of paper. It used to be like Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, like 1, 2, 3. Thank God, I always got a 1. I always got an A, an Aleph. So God already knows what would have happened if I would have got a 2. But I always had an Aleph. So my father was not only was he proud of me, but he was also proud of the teacher that he can impart that I learn well. Well, that went on, I talk about myself, that went on year after year. But then there comes a time when your sisters get married. Well, the older sister got married even before I was born. So I don't know their marriage. But for the second and third marriage, they both got married on the same day. I was in love, and I said, well, why make 2 weddings when you can make 1 wedding? And you can imagine we had horses, we had cows, and we had sheep, and we had goats, and we had chickens, and we had ducks, and we had turkeys. So you can imagine what I can remember, I must have been about 4 years old when they got married. We slaughtered 2 calves and chickens and God knows what. And this went on for about 3 days. But with all that happiness that went on, there's my older sister, which somehow I had to get to know her, if you know what I mean. She had many miscarriages. Many miscarriages. I think about 9. Until eventually, she had 1 boy. She had a boy, you can imagine the joy when that boy was born. But somehow, I don't know what kind of illness he had, but he kept on fainting. And you know, on the continent, there is always a lot of hocus pocus, you know, these people, they used to melt clay and this and that, and images were wide. Till one day, I must have been about 7 years old when that child got born. And my father said to me, Joe, this week you will not go to Cheder, you will not go to the Jewish school, you'll stay at home with the baby and you do what they call tefillin, psalms. And I had a book which was filled with psalms. I used to start from the beginning, I used to go through. And you know, the child used to be one of those rocking thing there, and I used to rock it. And while I was there saying the psalms, everything was okay. For about 3 months, I said the psalms, and the child was well. So one day, I decided that if he's doing so well, I'll go and do my prayers in the synagogue. I went to the synagogue, and as I was in the synagogue, there was a prayer where you stand up, your legs together, and you say your prayers silently, what they call in Yiddish, Shemen Esser. In the middle of my prayers, there was a voice calling out, Joe, Joe, Joe. And I went forward and said, come at about this child is, again, has got a fit. And you better go and start doing your psalms again. Which I did, and everything was all right. I put this thing in because that child to me was as much as it was for the parents. Because I felt that I was giving that child life. And also it made me feel proud that my father saw me worthy enough to say these psalms, to add to the child's well-being. Well, after about a year and a half, the child got over this attacks and everything else. He was more with me than with the parents, because when the parents used to have to do something or they have to go somewhere, Joe, would you like to look after him? And I said, yes.
What was his name?
His name, I got it written down, but I don't know exactly what it is.
Not to worry, Joe.
I had five nieces and nephews.
Of course.
I can't remember the name. But I've got it written down. I've got a photograph of them and I've got it written down. So I was 7 years old and my sisters had children. They had a girl and three boys. And also my father used to like to have his family around him. We had fields where we had our own. We had our own potatoes, our own sweet corn, our own flour, our own, which we grew ourselves. So we used to make our own butter, we used to have our own yogurts or sour milk, and we used to make cheese, you know, that's what they call here, I've forgotten the name, the cheese, I've got it in the fridge, anyway. So we were more or less self-sufficient, and we never used to buy a pound, or we used to buy a sackful. And this is how it kept us going.
This part of Czechoslovakia,
yeah,
you were living in,
yeah,
would this have been the part near Hungary?
Well, beyond Hungary, we were what it's now, Ukraine. Now it's called Ukraine. But after 1938, the Czech ruled there. So, but before I get to that thing, I would like to tell you what happened to our family. My sisters was starting to grow up, and everybody was to have what they call something in their hand that they've learned that they can make a living from. Well, the ones that were married, they got enough to look after children, the husband worked, and they were looked after. But the ones who were not married, this would be the third sister for me, because three of them were married. She decided she wanted to be a nurse. She made that, and of course, obviously, where she went to school or high school, they probably taught her about nursing, and she put her heart to her mind, she wanted to be a nurse. So one day, I'll never forget, Friday night, she said, Dad, she said, I'm going to leave home and I'm going to Budapest and I want to be a nurse. Can you just imagine a religious person, a Jewish religious person, and the daughter tells you you're going to be a nurse, and she's got to work on Shabbos and got to work on Saturday. She said, I'll try to arrange not to work on Saturday, but I am going to be, I want to be a nurse. But my father was not he accepted the situation, and he said, if this is what you want, go. She went. Then the one next to her, she said, I would like to go with my sister to Budapest and I want to be a secretary, because where I lived, it wasn't such a big industry where they need to have secretaries and so forth, so she went to Budapest. Then the one above me, she said, no, the second one about me, she said she wants to go to Budapest. So we found ourselves less at home and then more and more for them. The children, because to stay at home, what would you do at home? You would look after cows, you would milk the cows, but they were reaching above themselves, which is only natural. I don't know what actually they did in Budapest, because they ended up, four of them, four of them ended up in Budapest. Four of them. And the youngest one, I came next, and then the youngest one was Priva. We stayed at home. We were too young to go anywhere. So it brought us closer and closer together. In 1938, the Hungarians took over the area. They signed a peace treaty with Germany, and Germany decided that they don't want to go too fast. They went into Czechoslovakia, but they didn't want to come into so far, so they sent in the Hungarians. Because here was Germany, here was the Hungarians, and they said to the Hungarians, you go and take over that part. So it wasn't sort of to say the Germans took over, it was the Hungarians. Well, what happened was, when the Hungarians came in, they immediately got rid of the Hungarian teachers. And they put in German trained anti-Semitic Hungarian teachers. And what was the first day, first morning we went to the school, we were immediately segregated. And even the Christian boys and girls couldn't understand why. Because here we were playing with one another, we were friendly with one another, we were eating in each other's houses, and all of a sudden we were different. And after, not only were we segregated, they told the Christian boys and girls not to associate with us anymore. And do you know, to turn bad, to turn somebody's mind for evil, I didn't realize how easy it is. I didn't realize how easy it is. Because within days, literally, not weeks, I'm talking about within 4 days, the friend that I used to play with, kick balls, eat with in other sizes, all of a sudden I was called a dirty Jew. You know, I don't want to talk to you anymore. You are no good. I come to my father, I said, Dad, sixth and have to be school that I can't come to Christmas. And not only this, when we come out from school, the teacher instigated the children to beat us up. Well, we were not cowards. We fought back, but we couldn't fight back. We were 8 and 9, and we couldn't fight back 18 to 20-year-old kids waiting with sticks and with chains and everything else. And in the meantime, in these years, a lot of military soldiers and tanks and lorries used to go down in the main road. And we, again, I'm running away from myself. As a child, I was given a pony, a horse, as a present. I was about 3 years old when I got that child, that horse. And this horse grew like me. I could talk to the horse like I'm talking to you. I used to go to him, go over there, and I used to go over there. I said, and his name was Shari. I said, Shari, come along. And he used to do exactly what I told her. And also, I used to have a dog who would look after me, a black dog. So when I used to go to school, the dog and the horse I used to ride to school because it used to be a distance. And then the dog used to take home the horse. Then he used to bring the horse and he used to take me back. It was strange to go backwards and forward. But when the Hungarians came in, they confiscated the horse. So I had to walk. And it was a long, long walk, about 3 miles walk. What I want to point out, as a Jewish child, I used to have ringlets hanging down here. I don't know whether you've ever seen the Jews, you know, the religious. And one day I was coming home from school, and soldiers were in the gutter, you know, having a rest because they were marching. For no reason, a soldier jumped, got up, came over to me, took up his baguette and cut my locks off. And I said to him, "What have I done to you that you should do this to me?" He said, "Go on," he said, "you believe what I'm going to do." I went off and I came home and I was absolutely, first of all, I was shaking. And that was just that I felt I'd lost some part of my body. Something which I was visible about as a Jew, but you didn't have to do that to me. And I said to my father, "If any more of this thing goes on, I will not go to school anymore. I don't need school. I've got cheder. I can learn everything in Cheder. Psalms, reading, writing, and history. I mean, what more history when you read the 5 books of Moses and so forth?" He said, "I'm afraid we're living in an age," he said, "that we Jews have got to accept everything that they dish out." I said, "I'm sorry, not me. If I've got to take it, I don't have to suffer with it. I'll take it, but I don't have to suffer with it." And I stopped going to school. So at 8 3/4 and 9, my education stopped. Finished. And then when it came to 1940, well into 1940, all the Jews who were living near the main road, because they saw that we were spies, we were hand on, whatever it is, we were rounded up, not by the Germans, by the Hungarians. The Hungarians rounded us up. And I said, "Don't bother." They gave us 3 hours to take whatever we want. I said, "Don't worry, don't even bother to lock your doors. You won't be long. We take a sensor and we ask your name and address and so forth, and you go home. Don't bother to lock the doors." Which, of course, was a lot of lies. And we had a report in the synagogue. But by the time that we got in there, it was packed. Packed to the brims. It was babies in arms and babies just born, and old people, ill people, people who couldn't walk, people who could push chairs, people on little wagons. But we had to be there. How much can you take? How much can you carry? And I said, bed down, and tomorrow morning we'll start counting. 4 o'clock in the morning, there was a whole commotion. They woke us up, and the beating started for no reason at all. Beating, quick, quick, quick. And I marched us to the station where already cattle wagons were waiting for us. All the little windows, the cattle wagon had wire, all blocked up. And beating, getting into these wagons. But wagons was high on the ground, and you didn't have what to climb on. So by the beating, everybody was pulling everybody else, and you were cutting, you were pulling in the skin used to cut off your legs, because it's all metal in the beginning. This went on for about 3 hours, until everybody was there. But to me, as a youngster, what I knocked out from the cracks while the door was still open, you can imagine, everything quick. Children were parted from parents. Babies were dropped because you couldn't hold the baby and pull along the other child, so the baby was on the ground. And the crying and the screaming and the dog barking and the beating was beyond comprehension. It was too much to take. But as a child, it was bewilderment. All of a sudden, you looked at them as wolves, you know, just coming to get you. Well, I won't go on any longer, but what I want to point out to these children. These people went along and I picked up the children by their arms and I flung them into the wagons. Irrespective whether the parents were in the wagon or relations in the wagon or friends in the wagon, they were just chucked in like a stone, like a piece of potato. Not only, but quite a few children, they were just swinging on that and just chucking them, just to get them on the ground. After a while, the train started on. Well, the train starts rolling. All of a sudden, the silence was such that you could cut it with a knife. Not all we had was silent breathing. But after a longer while, when the nerves started to settle down a little bit, people started to cry. And I looked at my sister, my older sister, and she was holding that 3-year-old boy whom I prayed for, whom I gave life, who was part of me. He looked at his mother, he put his hand on her cheek like that, and a tear was cascading there. He said, Mommy, he said, don't cry. Mosiah would have helped. Mosiah would have helped. Mosiah would come and help us. And as a 10-year-old boy, all of a sudden, I realized that 3-year-old boy is no more a boy. He is a man. He understands the situation. And I could see, even with myself, that the role has changed.